This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Our classical music critic, Lord Schwartz, won a Pulitzer Prize in 1994 for his music criticism. Music criticism is just one part of his writing life. Lord's third book of poetry has just been published. It's called Cairo Traffic. Lord also directs the creative writing program at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, and co-edited the book Elizabeth Bishop and Her Art. We invited him for a reading and conversation. Let's start with the poem that opens his new book. It's called A True Poem.
A true poem. I'm working on a poem that's so true, I can't show it to anyone. I could never show it to anyone, because it says exactly what I think, and what I think scares me. Sometimes it pleases me. Usually it brings misery. And this poem says exactly what I think. What I think of myself, what I think of my friends, what I think about my lover. Exactly. Parts of it might please them. Some of it might scare them. Some of it might bring misery. And I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to hurt anybody. I want everyone to love me. Still, I keep working on it. Why? Why do I keep working on it? Nobody will ever see it. Nobody will ever see it. I keep working on it even though I can never show it to anybody. I keep working on it even though someone might get hurt.
That's Lord Schwartz reading from his new collection of poems, Cairo Traffic. So, Lord, do you have such a poem that's too honest for anyone to read?
I wish I did. I was actually working on something that I couldn't show anyone. I didn't think I could show anyone. And I was stumped by it also, and I think that the channel got switched to actually thinking about writing that poem, and that's where this poem came from.
You know, your poem, A True Poem, which you read, is about some of the problems that one faces when they write about their honest perceptions of other people. You've written a series of poems about your mother, and in these poems, it isn't an issue what your mother will think, because your mother has Alzheimer's disease and is beyond kind of comprehending the poems or even recognizing you as her son. How did you start writing poems about her and her condition?
I almost have no control over the subject matter of my own poems. And if I'm feeling something deeply enough, I may not even want to write about it, as was the case with my mother's, with the beginning stages of my mother's illness. And then I couldn't think about anything else, and the subject just took hold, and I had to write about it, everything else had to be shoved aside. And I was also so moved by the things that she said. And my mother was never a writer. I wish she had been. I think in some way the extraordinary things that she was saying to me, I wanted to commemorate. I wanted to capture her mind and her thoughts and her words, which she herself would never have written down. And that just took over, became a passion.
Let me ask you to read a few lines of your poem, The Dream During My Mother's Recuperation. And this is a collection of, at least I assume it's a collection of some of the things that she said with memory loss.
Yes. It is, starting when she was in the hospital for a very serious operation and her recovery from that operation. I feel lost. I'm heading for nowhere. I have to stop somewhere to see where I'm landing. Whatever is going on will be going on without me. It passes so fast. That's life. The winter sun is like a stepmother's love.
Did you actually take notes when she was speaking to you?
I actually did. I was visiting her in the hospital. She was not expected to recover from this surgery that she went through. And she was saying the most remarkable things. And at some point, I started writing down the things that she was saying. I just wanted to remember them. My original intention was not, oh, I got to turn this into a poem, but that I just wanted to remember some of these things that she was saying. And then really at some later point, I thought, you know, this is a poem. She is giving me a poem.
I want to ask you to read one of your poems about your mother, and this is called She Forgets. Tell us when you wrote this and what stage of her illness she was in.
She Forgets was in the earlier stages of her memory loss. She had been hospitalized, and she was not permitted to leave the hospital for home. She had to be put into a nursing home, and she was put into a nursing home that was really not the right place for her to be, and it took months and months to get her into a better facility. And this is really a poem about her that first experience in a nursing home, and her pain and helplessness about her, both her physical and her mental situation. She forgets. The one who told me about the Holocaust, who taught me moral distinctions, who gave me music and told me jokes, is in a nursing home, lonely, scared, surrounded only by people so much worse off, inarticulate, incapacitated, drooling. She thinks she's in a crazy house. She's not crazy. She's there. I put her there because she can't take care of herself, can't be left alone. She's old. She forgets. She forgets her medicine. She forgets what she's not supposed to eat. She forgets what day it is. She remembers who she is and who she was and knows she's not herself. She can't remember what's wrong with her. What's wrong with me, honey? Or why she's there. But she knows her brain isn't working right. Her brain needs air. Oxygen has a hard time squeezing through her hardened arteries, so her blood congeals. Little clots cause little strokes, which destroy her memory. Aspirin, which thins the blood and helps keep the oxygen flowing, might help her remember. But she's old. Part of her stomach has turned upside down. Her food gets stuck in her chest, blocks her breath. She panics, forces herself to vomit, which makes her bleed, which damages her heart. A simple operation could fix her stomach, but doctors won't operate on someone with a damaged heart. And aspirin makes her bleed, so she can't take aspirin, so she forgets. I live in another city. Once after I came to visit, she wasn't thinking about her food. She ate too much or too fast, and the food wouldn't go down. So she panicked, forced herself to vomit, and had a heart attack. She was in the hospital for 3 weeks, which she doesn't remember. So I've had to put the one who gave me music and told me jokes, who taught me moral distinctions and warned me never to forget the Holocaust. I've had to put her in a nursing home, a crazy house, where she's scared and lonely, where she stares out the window and asks, "What day is today? Why can't I go home? What's wrong with me, honey? Why am I here?"
Lloyd, that poem was written several years ago, and I think you must look back on that period as when she was comparatively healthy.
Yes. Yes. Now she doesn't know who she is anymore, and she doesn't know who I am anymore. It was hard to think of anything worse at the time that's in She Forgets was happening, but it's worse.
How is she now?
She's very weak, very tired, extremely confused. That's how she is.
Do you still remember what your mother was like before she was sick, or has she been sick for so long that that's the main image you have of her?
Oh, no. I remember very vividly what she was like. In many ways, she was, she certainly remained one of the closest people in my life. Much closer to me than my father was. There was kind of war between me and my father, which she mediated. But very much. I mean, she was someone I would go to movies with when I was a child, or go to plays, and she was the person who told me most of the jokes that I knew, and I would even tell her some of the jokes that I'd heard. Sometimes not very polite ones, but she seemed to get a kick out of them. And she did love music. She was very involved in she loved popular music and Broadway shows. And she went when she was a younger woman, and she would tell me about those experiences. So I remember her very well. She was very much the center of my extended family.
My guest is our classical music critic, Lloyd Schwartz, who's also a poet. His new collection of poems is called Cairo Traffic. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Lloyd Schwartz. You probably recognize him as Fresh Air's classical music critic. Lloyd is also a poet and has a new collection called Cairo Traffic. Your new collection of poems, Cairo Traffic, is named after the final poem in the book. And the final poem is really, in a way, a collection of poems and short prose pieces about your trip to Egypt. And the poem is really, in part, about art and religion, death and the desire for immortality, a lot of the things that seeing what you saw in Egypt got you thinking about. I'm going to ask you to read the end of Cairo Traffic.
Okay. No, I haven't converted, though in fact I find I have a lot of sympathy with elements of what I understand to be the religion of ancient Egypt. Life and death, order and chaos seem to have been worshipped equally, and I, who believe there's reason for everything, that everything makes sense if one tries hard enough, I believe with equal conviction that reason is an illusion, that nothing ever makes sense. I'm afraid I'll lose the past, so I don't throw anything away. So I live in chaos. A visitor once asked if I was planning to take everything with me to the next world. My real conversion took place when I was 13. I lost confidence in religion. I still believed in morality. Later, I believed in art. In Israel, at the Western Wall, I found a surprising residue of feeling for everything I'd been taught to worship as a child. but in Egypt. Something else. Something about the relation between how massive these monuments are, how heroic, and how old. Older than almost anything else we call art. And fragile. They've been on Earth so long, they seem tired of it. Tired of time.
Thanks for reading that, Lloyd. And that's from the title poem, Cairo Traffic, from Lloyd's new book. Tell me more about how, you know, visiting the Middle East, which is a land we, you know, lands that we identify with ancient religions. Did it make you rethink religion at all, or was it more about art for you?
Well, it certainly, it was very much about art, but it also was a very powerful image, both as I say, even in Israel at the Wailing Wall, to actually be there triggered these kind of these sort of recessed memories from my childhood, and I really did feel here was a kind of manifestation, a kind of heroic physical manifestation of the power of religion, and it was an extraordinary experience, and it did make me go back to, it certainly tapped feelings that I hadn't, that I hadn't really had in many decades.
Do you think of yourself as a prolific poet?
Oh, no, just the opposite. Mm-hmm. I mean, this very narrow little book is 10 years of work, and I seem to, I've published a book every decade. So these books contain almost every poem that I've written in the, in that 10-year period.
When you're not writing a poem, do you think that you're still a poet, or do you think you're someone who used to be a poet?
Sometimes I think I'm still a poet. I certainly hope I'm still a poet. I'm afraid I used to be a poet. There's a kind of network of anxieties and satisfactions and fears that are kind of inextricable.
How do you know when you want to write a poem about something? I mean, do you ever try to force it and figure it's not happening, or is it pretty clear when a perception or an experience is leading to a poem?
I'm not a great role model for my students, because I tell my students that, yeah, you know, they need to work at it and they need to keep, you know, writing all the time. And, of course, I am writing all the time. I'm writing music reviews all the time. But I tend to resist writing poems. I mean, I want to write poems, but usually when something comes to me that, you know, that makes me want to write, my first response is, I'd love to write a poem, but I'm way too busy. I just have much too much to do to stop everything and write a poem. And then I have to write it, and everything else has to be put aside. So that doesn't happen with extraordinary frequency, but when it happens, it is overwhelming, and there's nothing else I could do. I have no choice. And I don't sleep much, and, you know, there are always deadlines that I have to meet, but the poem has to get written.
Well, Lloyd, thank you so much for reading some of your poems to us. A pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Terry. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, too.
Lloyd Schwartz is our classical music critic. His new collection of poems is called Cairo Traffic. Coming up, Maureen Carrigan reviews posthumously published books by Jack Kerouac and Iris Murdoch. This is Fresh Air.